Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Pastor Farrell Shepherd of the Island Ford Baptist Church here in Madisonville, Kentucky, and I'd like to welcome you to another Sending Forth the Light radio broadcast. This broadcast is for Monday, November 5th. My, we've had a lot going on and a lot yet to go on, several announcements to make here this week and about things going on. But let me mention about some things about last week. We enjoyed a good revival meeting last week. Brother Larry Raines came in and preached Sunday night through Tuesday night and was scheduled to go through Wednesday, but he found that he had a tumor in his head. There's a pituitary gland tumor, not a brain tumor, as some people have thought, but it is a pituitary gland tumor. And they had told him, the doctors had told him three things about that. One, that it was not malignant. Two, that it would not grow. And three, that it would not cause him problems. Well, it has grown, and it is causing him problems. And so he had scheduled to see a neurologist, and they had actually, or neurosurgeon, they had actually backed that up till this past Thursday. And so he asked me if he could leave on after the Tuesday night meeting. And so we allowed that to happen, and glad to do that. Well, good news was that the doctor said that it is not malignant, only a 2% chance that it could be malignant. And they're not even going to do a biopsy, not going to recommend doing anything, just watch it and keep an eye on it. And so we're thankful for that. They said it is growing, but it's growing towards his nasal cavity, which means it has some room to grow without causing him some major problems. And so we want to keep him in our prayers and keep a look on that. But Brother Williamson, Brother Herbert Williamson came in for our radio marathon. He preached on Wednesday night, then stayed, and he preached during our Sunday school time on Sunday morning as well. Wednesday night, he was notably tired and had a little bit of trouble, seemed like. But Sunday morning, the Lord used him, and he preached a tremendous message. Did a good job. Brother Hall said he didn't remember when was the last time he heard Brother Williamson preach so powerfully. And we're thankful for that, and I praise God for that. Had a good time. And then I preached in the evening service, or the 11 o'clock service as well. We had a good time together and a good meal together. And the marathon, friend, I'm going to tell you, we had a tremendous marathon. We raised $15,500 on the first day, and then we're at $27,000 and something, I forgot now the number, on the second day. And we ended up having reached our $30,000 goal and stopping sometime about 9 or 10 o'clock on Saturday night and having $2,000 extra, actually $32,012. We're going to be able to not only make a $2,000 payment on our transmitter, but add an additional $2,000 because of that came in. And so we're grateful for that and want to thank you. Amen. And then also, I want to mention that I'm going to be leaving the country in the next few days. My wife and I and a couple of ladies here in the church are going to be going to Israel. Sister Sarah Woodard has offered us a trip to Israel and paid our expenses. Praise God. And it's all lined up. We're going to be leaving out Wednesday morning, and we'll be getting back Thursday night a week later. So 9 days, actually, we'll be gone total. And so hope you'll pray for us. Ask God to bless. And I've got some preachers lined up and some things going to be going on here at church. And so want you to help back the church, pray for us. I've got programs lined up as well, but we'll be gone, and I hope you'll pray for us while we're gone. Heavenly Father, I pray you take this broadcast now, use it according to thy will, bless our trip, bless our time together, help those on our prayer list meet their needs, and you get the glory. We'll thank you for it. We ask it in Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, I certainly do appreciate you praying for us and praying with us, and hope you'll continue to keep us in your prayers. And we're going to head right into a song and then the message today. And I want to bring a song here by the Shepherd family, one that we sang and made it the title of our CD that we produced several years ago. It was a real blessing to me. I'm going to tell you, when I first heard the song, it was a blessing to me. And then every time I've heard it and every time I sing it, it's been a blessing to me. And the song says, there ain't nothing better than Jesus. And friend, I want to tell you, there's nothing better. Oh, how I rejoice. I'm rejoicing right now, sitting in this little room all by myself. Now, nothing going on around me, just sitting, soaking in the presence of the Lord. And I can honestly say, there ain't nothing better than Jesus. Here's the song. Hope it's a blessing to you. All right, this week we're going to begin a sermon out of Acts chapter number 26, dealing with Paul as he gave his testimony before King Agrippa. And King Agrippa said, almost thou persuadest me to become a Christian. And I'm going to preach a message this week on almost a Christian. Acts chapter number 26, verse 28 is where I'm going to be primarily
taken as my text, but I'd like to start in verse number 1, Acts chapter number 26, and begin reading verse number 1. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, "Thou art permitted to speak for thyself." Then Paul stretched forth the hand and answered for himself, "I think myself happy, King Agrippa, because I shall answer for myself this day before thee, touching all the things whereof I am accused of the Jews, especially because I know thee to be an expert in all customs and questions which are among the Jews. Wherefore I beseech thee to hear me patiently. My manner of life from my youth, which was at the first among mine own nation at Jerusalem, know all the Jews, which knew me from the beginning, if they would testify, that after the most straitest sect of our religion, I lived a Pharisee. And now I stand and am judged for the hope of the promise made of God unto our fathers, unto which promise our 12 tribes, instantly serving God day and night, hope to come. For which hope's sake, King Agrippa, I am accused of the Jews. Why should it be thought a thing incredible with you that God should raise the dead? I verily thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth, which thing I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints did I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests. And when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them. And I punished them oft in every synagogue, and compelled them to blaspheme. And being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them even unto strange cities. Whereupon, as I went to Damascus, with authority and commission from the chief priests, at midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven, above the brightness of the sun, shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, 'Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks.' And I said, 'Who art thou, Lord?' And he said, 'I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, and that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision, but I showed first unto them of Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coast of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. For these causes the Jews caught me in the temple and went about to kill me. Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day, witnessing both to small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come, that Christ should suffer, and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead, and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. And as he thus spake for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, 'Paul, thou art beside thyself. Much learning doth make thee mad.' But he said, 'I'm not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness. For the king knoweth of these things, before whom also I speak freely. For I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him, for this thing was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest.' Then Agrippa said unto Paul, 'Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian.' And Paul said, 'I would to God that not only thou, but also all that hear me this day, were both almost and altogether such as I am, except these bonds.'" I'm going to stop reading there. My text, as I said, primarily from verse number 28, a familiar verse probably, a familiar saying. Agrippa, the Bible said, "Then Agrippa said unto Paul, 'Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian.'" This man, King Agrippa, was a Jew. He knew the Jews' religion. He reveled, he exalted in the Jews' religion, and yet he said to Paul, Paul, you are almost to the point of making me change my religion. You've preached this so plainly, so clearly, that almost you're causing me to be a believer on this man, Christ Jesus, whom you preach. And I want to take that thought and use it today on that thought, almost a Christian. Almost a Christian. You see, the Apostle Paul here in our text is being held as a prisoner. But he had been allowed to give an account, his personal account, to King Agrippa. And as Brother Paul rehearsed his testimony and the happenings of his life, he rehearsed to this king how that he had lived in the past and then how that he had met Christ on the road to Damascus. He mentioned how he had been wholly converted, entirely converted into a new creature on that road to Damascus in his meeting up with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Agrippa knew Paul's devotion. Agrippa knew how dedicated. By the way, Paul mentions these things were not done in a corner. Agrippa knew the law. Agrippa knew the Pharisees. And Agrippa knew the testimony of this man, Paul, whom he had known as Saul. He knew that he was widely famed as a persecutor of the Christians. And so he also knew, no doubt, that there had been a dramatic change in Paul's belief and in Paul's behavior. Amen. He knew that something had taken place, and I'm not sure what he'd heard or how that he might, what he might have accredited that to, but Paul has the opportunity just to give him his personal testimony, and he mentions to him exactly what happened, how that God spoke from heaven, and that that voice of God was none other than the voice of Jesus, therefore recognizing that Jesus is God. Amen. He recognized that he had been a man and that he had died as a man, but he had risen again on that third day, not only as a man, but as the Son of God. Amen. And that he is now seated at the right hand of God. Amen. And is making those pronouncements. And the Word of Jesus is the Word of God. And when they stand in judgment, it'll be Jesus that judges at the great white throne judgment of God. Amen. Paul recognized that and is preaching that to Agrippa. Now again, Agrippa knows something about God. He knew something about religion. And I believe at this point Agrippa is gripped in conviction. I believe that he is being convicted by the Holy Ghost. But he's not only in the grip of conviction, but he's in the grip of sin. Because as we read the text, Bernice was there with him. Bernice was the woman that Agrippa was having an affair with. She was a relative, and yet he was having this affair with this woman. And he is in the grip of conviction, and yet in the grip of sin. Can I tell you that when sinners come under conviction, they are also in the grip of sin. Amen. The Lord sends the Holy Ghost to reprove us of sin. Amen. The problem between man and God is sin. Amen. What keeps man from turning to God is sin. What keeps men from coming to God is sin. Amen. Brother Sammy Allen used to, I've heard him say it many times. He said some people say, well, we would go to church if we could just find a good church. He said the reason some people can't find a good church is the same reason why bank robbers can't find a policeman. They're not looking for one. Amen. I'm going to tell you that people are running from God rather than running to God. Amen. And Agrippa was in that grip of sin. But when he became gripped by conviction, there is a point of decision. He must decide whether he's going to renounce that sin that has such a hold on him or whether he's going to release and allow the release of the conviction that has been placed upon him. You know the story. Agrippa chose to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. When he said, Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian, I don't believe that he was saying, Paul, I'm going to renounce it forever. I'm never going to get saved. But I believe what he was saying was, not today, Paul. Not today. I'm at that door, but I'm not ready to go through the door. I'll come back to that door later. Amen. Can I tell you the dangerous thing about conviction is that God said, my spirit shall not always strive with man. Amen. God may be convicting you now, and in the invitation time, he may not be convicting. The invitation time's not when they play the music. It's not when the pastor says, all right, let's all stand. And if you'd like to come, that's not invitation time. Invitation time's when the Holy Ghost says, you need God. You need to be saved. You need to turn to Christ. That's the invitation time. Amen. But Agrippa put off that invitation, choosing rather, I believe, to enjoy that time and that pleasure of sin, not knowing that he might be forever sealing his eternal destiny. Amen. Not recognizing that because of that decision, because of that rejection of the Lord Jesus Christ, because of that rejection of the gospel message that had come to him, he may burn in the lakes of fire forever and forever. Amen. And Paul stands there and Agrippa mentions to him, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. I say this, ever since Christianity began, ever since the days of Christ, ever since he gave the Great Commission to the church and sent men out two by two, or sent men out to tell others the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, men have been to that place of decision. They've been to that point of, I could say, no return. They've been to that place they've got to choose whether to go with God or stay in their sin. They come to that place where they are almost a Christian. They're at the door, but they're not in. Are you listening? The door is opened unto them, and yet they've not entered in into that door. And they might say, I am almost a Christian, but you know and I know that to be almost a Christian is to be not a Christian at all. Amen. Amen. Being almost a Christian does not make one a Christian, but rather it leaves you lost and headed to hell without hope in God. Amen. Some years ago, there was a country music singer by the name of Conway Twitty. Some of you, that may ring a bell to you. I don't know what his real name was. I doubt his real name was Twitty. But but a fellow by the name of Conway Twitty sang a song, and the title of his song was this: I may never get to heaven, or I may never make it to heaven, but I once came mighty close. In that song, he's singing about an affair with a woman, and he's singing about that affair being almost heaven. Can I tell you, Conway Twitty's dead today, and I don't know whether he ever called on God and trusted God for salvation. I'm not putting him in the regions of the damned, but I will say this. If he did not accept Christ, if he almost made it to heaven and did not make it in, today, wherever he's at there, if he's in the regions of the damned, he's not remembering that adulterous affair in the same fondness that he remembered it in that day. Amen. He's not singing about it as if it is almost heaven, but he's recognized he's missed heaven if he has, and he's going to be in hell forever and forever. Amen. I'm sending you that sin that is so pleasurable to you will one day be horrible unto you. Amen. That sin that seems to have such a grip on you and you're enjoying toying. By the way, the idea of sin, the devil will tell you, you can play with it and you can turn loose of it whenever you get ready. But what he doesn't tell you is when you want to turn loose, it don't turn loose. Amen. The Bible says that sin is a slave master. Whosoever sinneth is become the servant of sin. Amen. And sin has a way of reaching its tentacles into you, getting its claws into you, and not turning loose as easily as could be. I personally believe the only thing that can separate a man from sin is the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 I want to think about that thought, almost a Christian, and I want to mention a few things if I can. First of all, my first point is almost a Christian. Verse 28, then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. There are many people who are religious and yet unsaved. Amen. Many people attempt to do good, to refrain from wickedness. They may pride themselves in the fact that they're not adulterous. They may pride themselves that they're not in a homosexual perverted lifestyle, which the Bible calls sodomy, by the way. They may pride themselves that they're not a thief. They may pride themselves that they're not a liar. They may pride themselves that they're not as bad as the next fellow down the road, and yet they are not a Christian. They are only almost a Christian, and they are unsaved. They try to stay away from those things which they consider wicked. They may be good neighbors. They may be honest businessmen. They may be good housewives, good mothers, good grandmothers, but they've never been saved by the blood of Jesus Christ.
And that's all the time we have for today's broadcast. So we're going to break in right there in today's message, but let me ask you a question, friend. Have you ever been born again? You might be a good neighbor. There's a good chance you might consider yourself a good person and maybe even be considered by many others as an upstanding citizen, an outstanding individual, but have you ever been saved by the grace of God? You ought to think on that. You ought to call on the Lord if you haven't been saved. Hope you'll tune in this same time every Monday through Friday for another Sending Forth the Light radio broadcast. Until then, this is Pastor Farrell Shepherd saying good day and God bless you.